Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
A new website which aims to tackle myths and misinformation around healthcare is open for questions from the public. iHealthFacts.ie covers a range of topics from mental health, cancer, sexual health and many more. And how it works is members of the public submit their questions and then the researchers search for scientific evidence to support or refute the claim. The website has a number of questions and answers already available to view, and lead researcher with the project is Dr. Paula Byrne. She joins us now. You're very welcome, Paula, to the programme this evening. If listeners want to send in their health questions, you can email drivetime incidentally at rte.ie, or you can text 51551 and we'll pass them on to Paula while we have her here. And herself and her team can start working on them. Really, we're talking about common enough questions, Paula, aren't we, here? They cover a range of health topics.
Yes, so the website is ihealthfacts.ie and it's run by researchers from the University of Galway, as you said. So we've everything from the sublime to the ridiculous kind of questions, from doc leaves to very serious questions about, you know, types of medicines that people take or COVID or whatever like that. But I suppose the basis of the project is that we hear claims all the time about things that we do that can either, you know, improve health or cause or cure illness or are good or bad for our health. It might be food, it might be medicine, it might be supplements or activities. And the question really is, how do we know that these claims are trustworthy? So the bottom line is really, well, what is the basis of that claim? What supports that claim? And that's where iHealthFacts comes in. So our basic methodology is that a member of the public can, anyone can go onto our website, ihealthfacts.ie, and submit a question, anything that you're wondering about, you know, that is a health claim. So what we do then is we review the evidence on that claim. And it's really important, you know, that we don't just look at one study on an issue. We look for all the studies that might possibly be related to that topic. And we bring them all together and we try and find out, first of all, is there an answer? Sometimes there isn't an answer. Sometimes studies contradict each other. And then secondly, we try and find out, well, are the studies good quality or are they rubbish? Because that's really important. You know, we often hear, oh, a study says X, Y and Z, and it's actually a rubbish study, and it doesn't tell us anything, and it doesn't tell us the complete breadth of all the studies that are out there. So that's really important that we kind of systematically review the evidence.
Okay, so this sounds like very useful work that you're going to be doing for people. We might start with, I know there's some questions you've already looked at, and we might start with some of the maybe less serious ones, but yeah, ones that a lot of people have been talking about, particularly during the pandemic, cold seawater swimming, and this idea that it improves general health, mental health, the immune system. It's just really, really good for you.
Everything, everything. Well, this is actually a great one, Sarah, because it came up with the answer that I liked. And we all have biases, and you know, we want to believe something. So I suppose it came out of, the question was submitted to us, does cold seawater swimming improve physical or mental health and your immune system? And there was also a question of, could it cause harm? Now, when we went in, we discovered there had been kind of news reports on harm from cold seawater swimming. So we investigated that and we found, well, actually, there wasn't really evidence of harm. There was a single case of a particular woman that was reported in the medical journals, but you can really tell nothing from one case report. It means nothing. So on the other side of it, we did find 10 studies that suggested there was positive health outcomes in terms of immune system, mood regulation, pain tolerance and all of that. But the caveat is they weren't randomized controlled trials, which are the best way of finding out whether something works or doesn't work. They were studies of blood samples taken either in regular swimmers, and they took the samples before and after they swam, or compared them with those who didn't swim. And then they did other blood samples to look at stress hormones and that kind of thing. So all of these 10 studies, except for one, found a positive effect. But we don't understand the mechanism.
Okay.
And they're not the best type of study to answer the question.
Okay, so it's not a simple answer here.
Which is actually
good because, you know, there's research behind it. You mentioned some ridiculous questions. Now, this one, does drinking pineapple juice before wisdom tooth extraction aid recovery? Maybe it's not silly at all as a question.
Well, it's kind of, you know, I had never heard this one. It came in and then we have a number of reviewers in our process and one said, oh yeah, I did hear that actually.
There's always one.
So there's always one. So we looked anyway, we didn't find anything on pineapples themselves or pineapple juice, but we did find out there was a little bit of truth in it because there's an enzyme in pineapples called bromelain. And bromelain might reduce pain. It might have to do with the clotting and inflammation process. So we found a few low quality studies that looked at whether bromelain was useful after wisdom tooth extraction. Now, they were contradictory. So some studies found there was a benefit and some found there was not. And again, they were of low quality, you know, so.
So maybe, I suppose. What about this one? Do blue light blocking glasses make a difference to headaches and eye strain when working on a computer?
Yeah. So we all know that we're exposed to a lot of artificial light nowadays. And this blue light spectrum that particularly comes from fluorescent lights or LEDs or computers or whatever. Now, blue light is also in sunlight, but it seems to be these headaches and eye strain that are caused by computer that people are concerned about. So we did find some evidence on this that suggested blue light blocking glasses don't prevent headaches or strain. Huh. But again, we're back to they're not great quality studies and we can't be 100% sure. And very often, these are the kind of answers we're coming up. We love the idea of there being black and white answers in science and you know, the idea that there is best science out there. If I could do one thing, it would be to ban the phrase their science, because there's very often conflicting evidence or maybe not great quality evidence. Sometimes we have black and white evidence.
And it develops.
Over time. And that's an important point, actually, because this is the best evidence we have at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And speaking of, we're going back to cold water swimming because the texter is wondering, I don't know if you can answer this question on the spot, Paula, but given the studies that you've looked at, should cold water swimming be avoided by older people who have any heart conditions?
So again, it was literally that one case report that looked at the evidence of harm. And when you read that report, it was speculating on why would that be. Now, the case was actually a woman in her 50s who was very fit and did a lot of extreme swimming and that kind of thing. So it was surmising that there might be problems, but it didn't. There was no evidence really to support that. It was a single case report. So we really don't know.
Okay. But the evidence, there's no evidence to support, as you say. Okay. Now, just finally and quickly, if you don't mind, dock leaves. I was surprised to see this even in here because I would have thought it's clear that dock leaves relieve nettle stings. That's my experience of it.
I know. This was just terrible because we were asked, do dock leaves cure stings, nettle stings? And of course, we all know that they do. Of course they do. But actually, we found there was no scientific evidence. It was actually interesting because stings, what you think is a nettle sting is actually two things. It's the acid touching your skin and it's the little spikes that are called trichomes that are piercing your skin. So it's more complex than, it's not one thing, it's two things are happening. It was thought that dock leaves would neutralize acid, but actually dock leaves are acid. So, but this is one of those things that I just refuse to believe. Along with the child of Prague, I will continue to believe it. And no scientific evidence be damned. But it raises another kind of more serious question, which is like, here we have something, it's probably not going to do you a whole lot of harm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Whereas some interventions can cause harm. And then the other point just is that everyone has their own values and their biases as well. And, you know, what you make of something when the evidence is uncertain is kind of up to you
so
as well.
So rub away.
I will.
Paula, listen, thank you very much for joining us. And if people want to submit their questions, it's ihealthfacts.ie. Go to the website and you'll be able to find out where to submit your questions there. That's Dr. Paula Byrne. Thank you very much for joining us.